the Gospel of John, chapter 5. We're going to begin reading with verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. Tells us to search the Scriptures. In them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not the honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writing, how shall ye believe my words? Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come into your precious house and just fellowship over your word and enjoy your word. It's so wonderful. It's so powerful. It can lead us through each day. It can give us the joy and the peace we need to have, no matter what this old world does and how it seems to turn to the wrong way, and the evil seem to have such a constant control and victory. And yet, Father, we can walk through this world with our eyes to you, looking to you, praising you, enjoying you, dear Lord, and receiving from you wisdom and knowledge and power. But before all that can come, dear Father, we know that salvation must come into the heart. And so I just ask today that those that are here that do not know you, that please, dear Lord, that they will come by faith to you and believe today. Please, dear Lord, please that they'll come and believe today. Because we don't know when that we're going to leave this earth. We don't know when you're going to come to get your church. But we know that the Scripture is very clear when it says today is the day of salvation. And so please, dear Lord, don't let anyone leave today without knowing you as their Savior, trusting in the cross of Calvary. Now please, guide and lead and strengthen us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have enjoyed these verses of Scripture, and we're to the fourth right now. And this fourth one is the Scripture. Search the Scriptures. We need to back up just a little bit, I think, and just take a quick review here. We have first John the Baptist, next the works or the miracles. Next we have the Father and his testimony. All this is a witness of who the Lord Jesus, who he is, what he's come for. And yet we know that people do not listen or look that direction to the Lord Jesus. The Scripture says here in this 39th verse, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are what they which testify of me. And so again, we have the other three testimonies, and now we come to the final testimony of this section of Scripture, and that is concerning searching the Scriptures. To search the Scriptures. Jesus didn't say, read the Scriptures. How many times, how often do we visit and fellowship over the Word, and we tell folks, you know, study the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Don't just read it. I've shared with you many times, I had an uncle, and it was sad because he was really the only spiritual saved person in our family. And yet the only thing he could ever share, and this is before I was saved, I've read the Bible. I read all the way through from cover to cover. Next time, I read the Bible again. You know, I've read the Bible three times. That's the only thing he could brag about. Not what he had learned in the Word of God. Not something the Lord had shown him to use in service, but it was bragging about how many times he'd read the Bible. Slow down. I'd much rather in his lifetime that he just read it once and searched it and studied it and learned to learn from it and to grow. Please, to search the Scripture here means to investigate it. Investigate what's in there. You know, any time that we're learning to do something, or we're looking at a business, or we're doing something, we always investigate. You know, if you're going to invest in something, what do? You always investigate. You search it out. You want to know all about it. Well, please don't treat the Word of God any different. Because the joy of the Word of God is that not only do we have the printed page, we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts to teach us this Word, to show us this Word. And so please don't miss, and don't just read the Word, but search it out. Look at it. Brad and Brenton had a little disappointment this morning. They were looking at in the concordance, didn't you? What'd you find in the concordance that you had? Just the verse. It had no dictionary. It didn't have the Greek and the Hebrew dictionary attached to it. They were going to look up what the word meant, and in that one, in the Strong. So there is a difference when you look at concordances. See that you have the Greek and the Hebrew dictionary with it. And so they wanted to search the Scriptures and search to find out what the words and the fullness of it. It's just a joy to study the Word of God. It's a joy to study the Word of God. And I hope that when you're studying, that when you go to a cross-reference, that you find out that all of a sudden that you've spent more time in that cross-reference and you can't get yourself back to where you're studying. Well, you know what? That's just the Holy Spirit teaching you His Word and the joy of it. And so I hope that that happens to you, but please investigate the Scripture. And here in this verse it says that them, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. The word think is not something that you doubt or just a matter of opinion. The word think here is it's you know. You know that you possess eternal life. And so what a wonderful scripture verse, that very first one, as we look at it. And we're going to spend most of the day in this verse of Scripture. And so please enjoy it with me. And forgive me for my nose. And it as we look at these verses, the Jews were really convinced in the alternative. They were convinced that you did not need to find the Lord Jesus in them. What they were doing, excuse me. There we go. They were of the opinion and the thought that if you read the Scripture and you carried out the letter of the law, and the letter of the law was actually their doctrine. That's what they continued to deal with, was just their doctrine. And their doctrine was not the Word of God. We have doctrine of this church, but our doctrine is based upon the Word of God. It's not based upon tradition. And that's what happens so many times when you leave the Scripture, then it just becomes something that your father and your grandfather taught you. And so if they taught me, it must be right, but that's not necessarily so. Go to the Word of God. And, you know, when I got saved, I found out that what I was taught in my younger years was of very little value, because they didn't tell me to be born again. They didn't tell me about salvation. They didn't tell me about the Holy Spirit coming to live within your heart and grow you in strength. I wasn't taught that. And I'm so thankful that I had the opportunity to be saved and to be born again by the grace of God. But the Jews, they have stuck with their doctrine, with their tradition. To search the Scriptures and to study them with great joy. Say, I've studied the Word. Oh, I've studied the Word. We need to understand that it's not enough just to search the Scriptures or to just study the Scriptures with great diligence. We need to understand that salvation comes through believing. You can study it. You can say, that's the most wonderful book I've ever read. You can still be lost. We need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And a verse of Scripture that's probably on the very same page that this is on, or at least it is in my Bible, and that's verse 24 of the fifth chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that hears the word and believes. We must do that. You must do that. Please, don't become a Bible scholar and go to hell. You can be one that can quote scripture verse after scripture verse and go to hell. How can that be? It's because you're just studying as a textbook. They say that many times in many seminaries, when people go to they want to be a pastor, they want to be a preacher, one of the things that happens to many of them is that this just becomes a textbook and it no longer is the living Word of God. In your life and in mine, it always must be the living Word, God's living Word. You're hearing the voice of Jesus when you're studying this book. Understand that. You're hearing the voice of Jesus. We need to enjoy the Word of God, fellowship over the Word of God. And there's a scripture verses here that I would like to read in the sixth chapter, if you would turn there with me. It's probably just one page over. John chapter 6, verse 53 through verse 56. So John chapter 6, verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. This has nothing to do with the Lord's Supper. Meat stands for the food, and very clearly, the blood stands for drink. And so we need to understand that our Lord is our food and our drink. It's one thing we know how to do. We know how to eat. I mean, we really do. You know, I shared with you that with my hand that I am losing some weight because my left arm just doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't negotiate my mouth very well. And so, but I found a way to eat. You know, I've went to liquids and sandwiches. Forget the spoon. Yeah. Drink the soup, eat the sandwich. There's ways to do it. I know how to drink a glass of water. Glass of iced tea. I know. You know how to drink. And you know what? It's vital. It's vital for us that we eat and we drink. It's what keeps us going. We need that nourishment. We need it on a daily basis. And the Lord took His word here and showed us the same thing. We need Him. We need the Lord Jesus every day. We need to need Him like we know we need food. We need to feed upon Him like we feed upon the sandwich and the soup. How many of us miss a meal? How many of us eat between meals? How many of us start eating in the morning and quit at night? We know how to eat. We know how to drink. We need to take that same thinking, the same way by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and do the same thing with our Lord. We need to feed upon Him all day long. We need to understand the power of being a part of Him. And by eating and drinking, it is more than just someone that you know about. It's someone that you know personally. We possess and know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We need the peace and the joy. This living food and this drink of faith brings joy and peace and salvation. That's what we receive when we feed upon our Lord. When we drink, as its scripture says very plainly, His blood. We need to be completely consumed by Him, directing us, guiding us, leading us. This flesh and blood, as we have fellowshipped over, you know, tells us of the sacrifice of His body, the shedding of His blood on the cross. We need to know that. We need to believe that. We need to proclaim that. And when we do, the joy will come into our hearts. So Scripture alone will not make us fit for heaven. Preaching alone will not make you fit for heaven. Jesus saves. And only the Lord Jesus can save us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's another thing that I do have trouble with. Turning pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So, to eat His flesh, to drink His blood, is talking about being in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, please, don't miss that beautiful verse of Scripture there. Jesus has completely fulfilled the Old Testament laws. The Old Testament scriptures were the voice of God. It was the voice of the Word not yet made flesh. Now you think about that. So who is speaking to us in the Old Testament? The Lord Jesus. It is the voice of the Son of God. It is His voice before He became flesh. And in the New Testament, we enjoy after He has come to this earth. Every part of this book, as we talked about this morning in Sunday school, Cain and Abel, and with Cain and Abel, how that one was accepted and one wasn't, it's because the offering that Cain brought was not a picture of Jesus. I believe Cain brought the best he had. But when it lacked the blood, and it lacked listening to their dad, he told them how to bring and what to bring, and instead of that, they did it their own way. Well, Adam was listening unto God, and God said to Adam, "Here's what you need to do." Adam proclaimed that to his sons. One listened, and one didn't. One went to hell. One went to heaven, all because of a choice and decision they made. Whether it's the sacrificial lamb, whether it's the brass serpent that was lifted up, whether it's all the sacrifices that were brought through all the generations, every bit of it was a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what these four areas are talking about. John the Baptist, the very works, the miracles that the Lord Jesus performed, the Father, his witness and testimony, and now the Word. The Word. And so there is much evidence. And now we come to this very sad statement. A very sad statement of verse 40. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. The testimony is, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think, or you'll know, you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. They tell all about what's there. And yet, look at that 40th verse. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. What a sad statement. You know, we have a lot of other testimonies besides John the Baptist, God the Father, and the miracles of the Lord Jesus here. We also have this impotent man that the Lord Jesus has just healed. He has just healed this man. And do you want to find out very quickly the heart of the world? They didn't look at this man that now could leap and run and walk and live a full life and had been miraculously healed. Only God himself could do that, and did. And yet the credit was not given to him for such a miraculous healing, but a condemnation was given unto the Lord because he did it on the Sabbath. And it was so critical, it was such an evil thing that Jesus has done on the Sabbath, that they said, kill him. Kill the Lord Jesus for breaking the law. You want to know why that he says here in verse 40, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life? That's a perfect showing of the heart of the world when they responded in such a way. They had no joy that this man was healed, whether they want to acknowledge the Lord Jesus doing it or not. They missed that completely. They went right to, you've broke our law. You have to die. That's all they saw. And that's the world. That's the world. And yet, you know, the very ones that spoke those words, the very ones that spoke those words, Jesus died for. I think out of understanding, trying as a person to understand the love of God, that helps me more than anything else, to realize that someone would die for someone else when they aren't going to receive it. Not going to do them a bit of good. And yet he still died for them. The very ones that hung him on the cross, he died for them. Pilate, he died for. Herod, he died for. All the Sanhedrin, all the scribes and the Pharisees as they come against the Lord Jesus, he died for every one and took their sin away. But you see, until you believe, you're still carrying your load of sin until you believe. You have to believe. You see, God didn't die on the cross and then just say, okay, all your sins are taken away. He did that. And then he says, all you have to do is believe. That's it. Please believe. So sad the condition of the world. This impotent man was made whole immediately, and yet they rejected it. John the Baptist had proclaimed the words. They rejected it. The miracles, other many miracles that the Lord Jesus had performed that no one else could perform, they rejected it. The Father gave witness to him. They rejected it. The Word of God back through Moses and all the wonderful scriptures they rejected. And so you see, there's a lot of light out there. All you have to do is believe. It's just that simple. But they believe not. You will not come to me. I love the scripture verse back in Noah, in Genesis 7:1, when Noah, God said to him, said, come. The ark was finished. And Noah had done a lot of work. I mean, he'd built that ark, and it took him a lot of years to build it. And he had that ark ready. And all those years, anyone that was living at that time had an opportunity to walk on that ark with Noah and his family. And the word of God came out, and Noah preached that whole time. And they condemned him, and they criticized him, and I'm sure they called him all kinds of names. Number one, it never rained. I believe that Noah built it out in the middle of dry land. You know, what's a boat doing out in the middle of a desert? You know, what would you do that for? Crazy Noah. Noah just kept building. What would we call that? The world calls it ignorance. But what's God call it? Faith. He believed the word of God. Now, if Noah can build an ark and work on that thing for all those years and preach and preach and preach, why can't we proclaim the word of God and stand true and believe this word? We have evidence of the flood. We know it took place. We have Noah and his three sons and their wives is all that come. God put a call out to the Jews when they were in Egypt. Before that, he put a call out to Abraham. He said, I want you to come to a land you've never experienced. And I'm going to make you mighty among all nations. I'm going to make you the number of your family you can't number. You can't number them. Why did Abraham leave Ur of Chaldees? He believed God. He believed God. And that brought him salvation. Then later, many years later, while they were in Egypt in captivity and slaves, and God sent Moses to deliver them. And I read through that whole section of Scripture, and it was just really a blessing to read, and there isn't any place where I really found that God says, come. But he continued to call the people out. And so in the same manner, the very word come isn't there, but all the thought is there and all the direction, come follow me. And we know the Jews had some problems with that, but the, you know, God said to the people of Israel, come through Moses. And Pharaoh, what did he say? He said, go. He sent God and his people out. He said, go. And his statement was, of course, the death of the firstborn was part of it. But when he said, go, he made another statement right in that same section. And again, to read the word and to study the word. He said, please leave and please go before we are all dead men. They already were. They were already dead, spiritually dead. And they sent the very Redeemer away. And so you see, you have that same choice. In seeing all the power, all the miracles that God performed with delivering Israel out of Egypt. And the only thing Pharaoh could say is go Because if you don't go, we're all going to be dead men. He missed it, didn't he? He didn't see the light. He refused. We know that the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, but that wasn't till after he had had ample time to hear the word of God and reject it. There's still a lot of folks today that witness the miracles of God, that live around us, live with us, and yet they still do not want the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They just don't want it. As Pharaoh, as Cain, in their own stubborn way, they're walking right down the street to hell. That's what they're doing. So sad. So sad. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. We all know folks that think they have the answer. Maybe they're very religious, or maybe they're not religious at all. For whatever reason, they don't want Jesus. He's the only way. Please, if you haven't trusted in Jesus today, do it today. And if you have, I hope today you have, through this short, small study, that you have seen the light. It's brighter and brighter than ever. Excites your heart. Boy, I haven't thought about Moses and delivering the Egyptians. I haven't thought about what Abraham had to do. I didn't think about Jacob and what went on in his life. I've forgotten about some of those things. I've forgotten about some of those things. Later in the verses, and we'll get there next week, I found myself back in the book of Daniel. And for Daniel to see the visions and then go before the king to proclaim those visions. It all takes great faith. Faith that God gives us. You want His power, you want His strength, you want His wisdom. Believe His word. It'll bring you salvation. It'll bring you peace and victory. It'll bring you joy every day. As we had in Sunday school, that Martha was cumbered with the things of the day. It'll help you not to be cumbered with the things of the day. It'll strengthen you. Please, let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you today that we have the opportunity to come into your house, and we did some reviewing because it's been several weeks. But please, dear Lord, show us your precious word. Have us look, study, search, investigate it, and just fill our hearts with joy through it and because of it. Help us to not be taken down and drugged down by this old world, but that every day is a more exciting day. As the body deteriorates, Lord, and we have more aches and pains, you've promised us that the strength and joy inside can take care of all those things. So please, dear Lord, bring salvation into the hearts of the lost today, and bring a joy and a peace that you've already given us, but we sometimes set aside and we look to the world to bring peace and joy. It's not going to do it. You can give us peace and joy. And you have given that to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus, with salvation, the forgiveness of our sins. It's gone. We're set free. Please, that joy and that excitement of that day continue all of our life, awaiting to see you face to face. Please, dear Lord, whatever the need may be today, I just ask that you speak to the hearts today. It's your precious, blessed word that we have before us. Thank you that we can open it today and search it today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.